Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
A little mute challenge there. Sorry about that. Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor. That's Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. We welcome you to the show. Hope everybody had an awesome Christmas yesterday. Today is Friday, December the 26th, 2014, and it's Aramaic Friday, and we have Dale Hoffman with us as well. So Michael said to give him just a few more minutes. We're actually loading the van to get out of Panama City to head to Fort Walton. So allowing him 5 minutes to finish doing what he's doing, let's first welcome Dale. How are you doing? Okay, maybe that's not Dale that I just turned on. So I'll welcome Dr. Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I
good.
Had a lovely, quiet family day for Christmas yesterday. I hope everybody else in the listening audience is doing well and enjoyed that day when most people didn't work, and we had just a lovely, peaceful time. How was yours?
It was good. It was different, not having any decorations and not having any family gatherings or anything going on, and so it was just different, but it was a calm, quiet day, fairly decent weather, and we actually took ourselves to a movie after we finished doing some packing, and so that was all good. So, Dale, are you still with us or have you muted? I checked the number, and that is Dale that I've got turned on, but he's not talking, so I don't know whether he can't hear me or what.
Well, let's just do a quick intro about why we're calling for Dale Ellen Hoffman, because Dale Ellen Hoffman has been studying not just the ancient Aramaic language and what was meant in all of the language and the idioms, but actually how to apply the teachings from the ancient scriptures of Yeshua and his followers to our lives to make our lives better. And the core tool for that is called forgiveness, which in the ancient Aramaic meant a tool for going inside myself and dismantling any false thoughts or beliefs or realities that are creating pain, fear, or sadness, and leaving me open and clear and in a space where it's much more easy for me to connect my conscious awareness to my true nature as love. And that tool's available for free on the website at www.whyagain.org, where Michael and Jeannie have many, many tools available for free download. And this one is, if you go to the main page there and click on the link that says Start Here or click on the red and white bullseye, it takes you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again?, which explains this reality management worksheet process. And also, click on a link. It isn't as direct as it was before, but click on another link where you can download audio files of, I think Michael is saying now, at least 12 different shows like this where people have been stepped through the forgiveness process one worksheet at a time. So that's what we're here to help promote. And on Fridays all this year, Dale Allen Hoffman has made the commitment and been with us to explain more in depth and answer questions about the ancient Aramaic language and the idioms and what he's discovered so far working on his own and with people like Albert LaChance about what can happen if you actually apply these lessons in your life rather than get stuck arguing with people about what's true and what's false. Let your life experience be the litmus test for you. Breathe into it, feel it, use the tools, and watch how your life changes. That's what we promote on this show, and that's what we're here to help support. And Michael and Jeannie are doing this 5 days a week, year-round. This is the fourth year now. We're finishing up year number four, I believe.
It is. It's amazing, isn't it? And when you said Dale had committed for this year, then I looked at the calendar, and actually today's the last Friday of his commitment, so... Unless
and Dale's missed two times this month out of the commitment, but anyway.
Well, are you feeling better, Dale?
Yeah, I'm feeling better. Also, like when I called in originally, I was on my home phone, and we have this, it's DSL, like through AT&T, and the home phone's through the internet now, and then they offered to double our speed a couple of weeks ago for like $10, but as soon as they did that, it's been dropping a lot. So I was on the call for maybe 5 seconds, and it dropped me, and I'm calling on my cell phone. But, yeah, I'm feeling better. Last week was interesting. You know, I don't want to really spend all kinds of time on it, but, you know, generally I had a really intense, it's beyond even the word migraine. I mean, if it was, I told them at the hospital on a scale of 1 to 10, it was like 9.9 for the longest time, and they just kind of labeled it a stress headache, but I'm just, I don't know, there's certain things I'm noticing lately neurologically and some stuff that I'm going to first start really, Loretta and I are going to do some really intensive still point and forgiveness stuff over the next few weeks, and then I'm also going to start working with some acupuncturists and go all those kinds of routes first, and then, you know, go to see a neurologist or something, because I've had some strange things going on lately that I can't quite explain, and I want to make sure I do it more from the natural, you know, angle first. But last week, it was interesting. What's that?
I say, can I kick in there?
Yeah, it was. I can tell you one thing. I know one thing. It was not a stress headache, and because I mean, I just spent a week and a half on the road with my family, which is an interesting process. But you know, it wasn't. There's something neurologically going on, but I'm not sure exactly what.
Can I share what's probably going on neurologically?
What's that?
Can I share what's probably going on neurologically and be careful whose diagnosis you break into?
Sure.
Remember, the word diagnostic is an agnostic is somebody who doesn't know. A dyad is two, diagnostic, two who don't know. So I have to be careful that one. But here's my take, Dale. You've told us how this year is taking everything to the next level. And to take everything to the next level means you're going to have to work out and work through everything that's less than the next level. And here you are. You're on it.
Yeah.
And
well,
your body's processing what needs to be processed. That would be
Sure, I was going to say, I'm sure it's part of it, but I've, you know, I've had some interesting, literally strange things happening with my fingers and my hands lately. On one side of my body. It's been lasting for a couple of years, something I was trying not to look at, but obviously, yeah, and I know that's all part of it, but I need to look in. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sitting there in the hospital, and this guy's looking at me, telling me I've got a stress headache. I'm like, okay, and I look over at Loretta. She's like, but, yeah, so we're going to be the question that came up for me, you know, in just being with it was, you know, am I open? Am I, you know, there's something in there that I'm holding on to. There's something, there's something that's keeping it from going to, which is interesting, too, because almost all of my talks over the last couple of months have been about the pinnacle of the temple, you know, what holds you back from going up, exactly what you just said, from that to that next, what, you know, is holding you back in the system from going on to that next opening or that higher vibration. So I definitely, I think, there's something there. There's something there. So, yeah, absolutely.
My answer would be there's a thousand generations. thousand generations is what's there. And, you know, I say it because I've been there, done that, and been through layers of things that people would say to me, you better get to the doctor fast because you got a problem. And I can think of two or three times where really severe stuff going on, healing and really looking at and tapping into the healing process. It takes a lot of faith to move through to the other side of it. I know Jeannie and I were in Costa Rica, and she had some lung stuff happen. And when I met Jeannie, she was using an inhalator. And, of course, she hasn't touched an inhalator in 10 years or more. But she went through a healing crisis or healing process that would have taken her to the hospital if we hadn't been there to do the energy work and process through, move through. Lungs were my challenge. I was almost dead three or four times first year of my life, and for 25 years I lived on an inhalator and pills. There was a time period where I had the cheek reflexes to the lungs. And here I am, I'm going on the national speaking circuit, and I'm out there traveling around the country, and I've got two large red running sores, one on each side of my cheek. And I had a friend who had a friend who was a skin doctor, and said, you know, just go see him, you know, he'll see you for free. And so I went to see him, and he said, oh, well, you know, we just put a little bit of steroid cream on there, that'll clear up in no time at all. I said, well, but in order to clear it up, what are we doing to the skin, which is an eliminative organ? He said, well, I don't know anything about that. I just know how to get rid of your the stuff on your face. And I went through about 2 years of that to clear that out. And I was just saying to Jeannie the other day, I actually got a little piece in my chest. If you look at some pictures of me that go back when I was in my 20s, you can see the beginning of a pretty severe hump in my back. And it took me about, that was probably about a 3-year process and several layers of excruciating pain in my chest. One time we were going on a canoe trip and I couldn't even pick up a paddle. It was so severe and my chest would click, 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 click. And I just got another piece of that way up at the very top of my breastplate just the other day. It was like, oh, I recognize that pain. I recognize that one. And it just took a fraction of a second. But now there's no curvature in my spine. My spine stands perfectly healthy and aligned. And of course, when you get to the age of 40, like I am, you're supposed to be starting to go the other way. Well, you know, it's just getting better and better. And Dale, you're doing the right things. And so I would offer, and maybe we can have some private conversation and see if we can give you some support for what's processing, what's moving. You know, you're the first one in who knows how many generations of your bloodline that said, I'm going to face all this, I'm going to process this out, I'm going to move it out, and there are going to be some physical symptoms that are going to be severe, and it sounds like you're in the middle of one. And again, it was just a week before, I think, that you said, well, you know, I'm not going to be doing this next year because I'm getting ready to go to the next level, I'm going to be on the road, I've got nature, we're rocking.
I invited it in. Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
what
my worksheets were bringing up this week was that it's connected to whatever it was that was going on. When I was really young, I used to have intense migraines, and everybody was always telling me it was because I was allergic to pollen, I was allergic to dust, I was allergic to the mold, whatever, and I never bought that one. And I've done worksheets on that before, and, you know, I found it interesting that sort of mulling that over this week, I used to hit kind of a brick wall. It would be one of those things where I'd sit there, you know, and I'd even do some still point and come back to the worksheet process. And one of those things, of course, you've never seen this before, like when someone's doing mind shifters and all of a sudden it stops and they're like, oh, I guess I'm done. It was sort of one of those sort of veil experiences. But this week, what's coming up is there's something connected in with that. And I actually just spent several days in New Jersey, and there's interesting things going on with some of my family and my dynamics of, you know, one of my siblings with my father. And I've been doing a lot with that. And it seems to be sort of more related to a lot, whatever that was going on as a child, right around the time that my parents divorced. It's been very interesting because my father, this is what was coming up. There's so much here that's just so rich. My father, when I was, five, I think was when the divorce finally went through, and it got to the point where, you know, he's out of the house and we're here. And I do remember a couple of times that he actually came to pick us up. And my mother like saying, oh, no, I don't want you to go with him. I want you to stay here kind of thing. And I remember my father looking in the window. This is what came up in the sheets this week. I remember my father looking in the window trying to see us, and we're, like, being pulled back behind furniture so that he can't see us. This is something that I've never even talked about publicly. And, you know, we're sort of behind the furniture, you know, Dad can't see you. And I found it really interesting that what that was bringing up feeling for me was what I was feeling at the time was, you know, how does Dad feel about this? Is what everybody's telling me about my father actually what's happening and how does he feel? And then some interesting things came into play with a sibling of mine who sort of disconnected from, well, not only my father, from all of us, but I've been seeing, you know, how my dad's been kind of getting through that, or maybe not so much getting through that. And it triggered a lot of that stuff from when I was a kid. And all of a sudden the migraine came back, and it was even more intense than what was there as a child. And I know that there's roots to that. This is one of those ones where you do a worksheet, you know, and you think, oh, it's a tiny little root. And then all of a sudden it's like, dear Lord, you know. And going to the hospital, it's like they're looking at me and saying their stuff, and I'm like, whatever. But
I doubt you were allergic to pollen. You were probably allergic to being beaten to submission of living a non-being life.
You know,
and buying into
pollen?
The trauma, buying like, into the generational trauma of mom and dad in their battles. And you just spent a week with your family up there, a week with your family on the road. And, yeah, I would say it's a stress-related headache. And all the goals that need to be looked at and canceled from, you know, how did a five-year-old feel about being hidden behind the furniture? What were goals held for mom? What were goals held for dad? What were goals held for Dale? All that stuff.
You know, what's interesting about pollen for me is, you know, I was labeled allergic to pollen. Of course, they gave me Benadryl and all these shots all the time as a kid, every second Sunday. But there was a certain point when I was about, I think, 19, and I had been a vegetarian for a couple of years, and someone said, you should try bee pollen. I'm like, oh, no, bee pollen, I'm allergic to it. And they're like, well, didn't you just tell me that you were told you were allergic to penicillin, and yet you weren't? I'm like, well, okay. So I tried it, and what was interesting about the bee pollen is when I actually started taking the very thing that I was told not to do, I had to start really slow. That opened me up spiritually in so many ways, actually ingesting the very thing that I was told not to. And I thought that was kind of an intriguing thing. And it wasn't really until I, even after working in health food stores and stuff, it wasn't until I met you that I really understood the dynamic at play there, you know. And, pollen
and
all of it. So
what you were engaging in with the bee pollen was homeopathy. And that might be a signal, the fact that you bring that up in the context of this conversation. Rather than jumping into a neurologist's office, you might want to find yourself a really good homeopath and get them to take on your case. And basically, with homeopathy, they'll look at everything about everything in your life. And if you've got a good homeopath, they'll come up with a remedy, and it's monumental. But basically, what's happening with bee pollen is you're taking in the energy of that which seems to be the challenge. And what it does is it builds or creates an immune response, and the immune system learns to handle it. And so the energy of the offender in the such a diluted dose that it's undetectable actually strengthens and creates a response that brings healing. So I might suggest that your next move might be to talk to a homeopath and see what they have to say.
I'm going to do that. Yeah, I live in a place that's so supportive of that. And thanks for that sort of, you know, the recalibration. See, that's another thing that's been popping up for me, and I did a worksheet about this week, is the word sort of. It's a word that was never in my language until maybe like the last 6 or 7 months. And I noticed that sort of's been coming out of a lot. And to me, the trigger for me, you know, the thing what came up in the worksheet, at least, I know I have a lot left on that. But the thing about sort of is there's something about that phrase that to me feels like there's something I'm not looking at, intentionally not looking at, you know. So it's been a very interesting year, and it actually, it's funny that I didn't even think about the fact that the last time, you know, when I said this is when I'm going to bump it up to the next level, And that's exactly what all of my talks have been about for the last couple of weeks of months. And, I mean, I can feel it wide open. And I'm telling everybody, be open, be open, be open. And, of course, yeah. Isn't it beautiful?
I love Richard Bach. We teach best that which we most need to learn. Here we are. Look what we're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Look what you're doing. Look what I'm doing. Look what Jeannie's doing. Look what Dr. Tim's doing. Here we are.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Right on track, right on track. And,
yeah,
you know, it's so powerful to, you know, to me on Aramaic Fridays. And, you know, this ongoing process is one that when we do this, I think really gives people a chance to see in the context of the original Aramaic where Yeshua was going with this healing process. And we've still just scratched the surface, and it sounds like you're getting ready to be the prime example for the next layer, the next level. And, you know, maybe you want to commit to January to take you through that anyway, just so we all get to play and hear about it. Just a suggestion.
I'll feel it out. I'll feel it out. Yeah, my schedule doesn't really kick in until, like, the third week. I'm really sort of, there it is. I'm knee-deep in the book right now. It's amazing what you catch.
Cool.
I remember when I first went to Heartland back in 1995, I remember the phrase for me was, that blew me away, that blew me away, that blew me away. And I don't know if you remember, but I'm not sure how many Still Point sessions it was into the summer. It was during the actual, it was after the support team, you know, we were there for several weeks, whatever. It was in the actual part of the intensive, the Y intense, Y again intensive. And I remember having a particular Still Point session where I had this thing about speaking up, and this probably ties back too. I had this thing about speaking up, and a lot of people had been telling me for years, you should be out there doing this stuff publicly. And I would say, well, you know, I love doing it with a couple of people, but more than that, it's not quite my thing to get up there. And I had an interesting Still Point session where I actually went through several different forms of what would be called assassination and crucifixion. I was nailed to a cross. I was shot. I was shot several times. All these different kinds of interesting, strange things that over the next few weeks I was able to identify that they were literally within me. It looked like there was Jesus. There was Gandhi. There was Martin Luther King. There was John F. Kennedy. There was Abraham Lincoln. There was like this succession of these archetypes. It was such an amazing thing for me. That was such an opening that I can't even put into words. When you were like, you know, did you notice that there's a particular, you're talking about how amazing this is and you're talking about how exciting this is for you, there's a particular phrase that you're not using. All of a sudden it's not there, and it was the phrase you were using all the time. I remember you sitting up on the stool in front of the dry erase board, and of course I'm completely clueless. I'm like, well, what's that? And you were like, you were always saying, you know, that blew me away, or this blows me away. You notice you're not saying that anymore. And it was like, and I still remember that sitting there, and I remember it was almost like the room started to spin. And then I remember doing worksheets on it, blew me away. And those lasted for probably about 3 weeks. I was supposed to do 5 a day. I was doing anywhere from 10 to 15 a day. And there was a few days when I would just go from one to the next, to the next, to the next with it, blew me away. And it was when it finally brought itself completely together was about 6 months after Heartland. I did a workshop down in Florida, what was called the Center for Conscious Living, where I met you, Pat Palmer's place, and I had never done a workshop in front of people before. And it was interesting that right in the first couple minutes of that workshop, it was called Get Real, right in the first couple minutes, I realized that I, like, didn't have anything to say in a way, or at least I felt like, okay, I was going to just get up there and it would all be there. But what I realized was I hadn't done my work completely to get there yet. And all of a sudden I had this sensation of the room spinning and my heart started to hurt as if I'd been shot in the chest. And I stood there, sweating, and there's like 57 people there in the room, and it was such an amazing thing for me. I ended up slogging my way through that for a couple of hours, and then what ended up happening was the next day I woke up, and it was like I stepped off the roof of the Empire State Building and landed on Fifth Avenue, and that lasted for about 2 weeks. I popped through that. The next time I got in front of a group of people, it was there, and it was open, and it was like, wow. And this probably some sense back
maybe
now.
maybe on an energetic level, you're at the level of vitality and going for this next layer to get out there to clean up all of the energetic resonance and identification with that headshot.
Yeah, yeah. There's still something in there, so definitely. One of the things that I found coming out of my mouth about a week ago, this is great. It's like a therapy set. This is like great forgiveness on the phone. It's great right in front of everybody. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to someone a Russian proverb that I heard once. I mentioned two things. One was one that you had mentioned to me that I didn't get at first, but I got it later. One was you had said, you know, if you're going to play John the Baptist, you have to know two things. One, you have to know when to hold up the mirror. Number two, you have to know when to duck. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And that, you know, I always related with that for years as me holding the mirror to them. And then I also realized that there was another aspect of me holding that mirror back up to myself. And it opened up for me. It was like, whoa, hold on. I had never thought of that. And I'm right in front of, I can't remember what city this is in. It was a circle of about 40 people. And they stood there or sat there in the circle watching me real time processing through that. I was like, wow, I never saw that aspect of that before. I always thought it was about me somehow and something or someone outside of myself. And I saw myself not victim, but somehow like I was flipping back between perpetrator, as in I'm here to push your button so that we can help heal it, and then a mirror effect going back to me. What that was, you know, what's in me that that I'm not sensing in that, or I'm not seeing. No. So it's been so amazing to do this, to be on the team and to be able to do this with my entire life, because I can't imagine living my life any other way.
I hear you. Amazing. Let's see if Julie happens to be on the line. Jeannie, is Julie there? 417-2723.
While we're waiting for that, let me
Julie
just say. Let me just cut in quickly.
Go for it.
I have agreed to see somebody to help them with a session at 12:30. So if you come back to me asking for input, you'll have to wait until next time, because I'm thrilled by this. Thank you for sharing, Dale, and I will be listening to the archive to catch up on the rest of it. And I hope you can join us for the next few weeks to give us updates, but thank you.
Awesome, Tim. We appreciate you. Is Julie there?
She is on the switchboard, so I'm going to turn her on. I'm not sure if she's ready to talk, but Julie,
If you happen to be there, Julie, maybe you'd share the healing process you went through back about, seven or eight years ago, where as a teacher, it was difficult for you to get up in front of the room. And are you there, Julie? Hello, Julie. How are you?
Hey, I'm here, but I don't know if I'm turned on.
You're on. And would it work to share that, you know, what happened with you with teaching before, what happened in that session, and then what you were able to do with teaching afterward?
Sure. Cool. Are you talking about...
I think it'd be powerful for everybody right now, the one where you had the memory of what appeared to be a lifetime as a teacher in Africa.
Okay. All right. Yes. I remember very well. Yes, I called you early in the morning, and I could hardly breathe. And I said to you, I'm really having a lot of trouble breathing. And you said, you know, well, we have morning class, so if it gets worse, you know, come on up. And by the time I got to class at 9 o'clock, it was, my body was crying, and as best I could tell you, I said, I'm not really crying, but my body's crying, and I really can't breathe. And you did some work with me during the class. You picked me up a couple of times and did some moving with me. And as that happened, excuse me, I keep getting this phone call, so I'm on a radio show. Bye-bye. So anyway, as you know, you kept like working with me, and then you you basically said, you know, wait a minute, I'm going to go within, and you did like a little meditation. And when you did that meditation, you said, you know, I think you were involved with an apartheid. And, of course, you know, I hadn't even thought about an apartheid or anything. And then he said, close your eyes and see what you see. So I closed my eyes, and I saw the profile of a black lady. And I came back to you, and I said, I see a black lady. She looks very nicely dressed. And it looks like a silk, you know, bandana and a matching dress. And he said, well, go ahead and close your eyes and ask that lady if you were her. And so I closed my eyes again, and I looked at this woman. I still see the profile, and I said, am I you? And the woman then turned her head and looked directly at me, and I was looking directly at her, and she said, yes, I am thee. And with that, I felt like I was her and also myself. And what we discovered is that she was speaking truth to her natives, which were there, and she was killed with a spear, and it went through her lungs. Well, again, I never believed in anything like past lives or anything like that, except that I was feeling definitely like this woman, and I was going through this healing crisis of like what she had experienced. Then you worked with me a little bit more. My body stopped crying, and I had this searing pain in my back. That pain, it was just like if I had back surgery or some kind of surgery, and that lasted about 3 weeks. And after that, I was able to get up in front of the group much more at Heartland and speak and feel much more relaxed. So it was
Let me share just for the listening audience, if it's okay with you, that up until that time when we would do teacher training, you know, Julie would be at Heartland just about every year. When we would do teacher training, Julie would get up to present a lesson in the teacher training class, and she would get three lines into the lesson, and she would just go blank and would just be lost. Just like, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I've got my lesson plan, and I can't even read it. Remember that?
I do remember how I would just get up there, and it would be like a moment of just freezing. And that would be the best way to put it. And then even though I did the work to explain what I wanted to teach that day, it just like I came to a halt. And it was just totally amazing. I mean, and then after this healing crisis, I was able to push through the halt. And you're absolutely right. It didn't make any difference, preparation or not. There was just a stopping on an energetic level.
Yeah, literally, every time up until that, you move through that process, there would be difficulty, turmoil, fear about getting up to present anything. I would call on you. You know, you're the worksheet queen, and I would call on you, and it would just be too much. And since then, every time, I mean, literally, there's the dividing line before that memory and after that memory. And I call on Julie, and Julie gets up, and it's just like as natural as, you know, eating apple pie. She just presents, and her presentations are always awesome and creative, and I've never seen her skip a beat since that event. Now, does that mean that was a past life that Julie experienced? I don't know. I don't promote that idea because I just don't know. However, I've seen many instances where an event like that has occurred and dramatic changes happen in people's lives. There are other ways to explain it. Am I promoting past lives? No. I think that people who don't believe in past lives in this life probably didn't believe in them in their last life either. So that's, you know, that's a moot point. But there are many different ways of explaining what happened. It could be just a creative unconscious way of bringing something forward so that it could be handled. It could be, as you said, Dale, an archetype, that something that I, in my energy field, for some reason, reason have identified with on an energetic level. And you talked about all those assassinations, and particularly Kennedy. And so if on an energetic level, that's what I'm attuned to, that energy, because of the law of resonance, is going to tend to move in me. And when it moves in me, it's going to create its impact. And its impact can be pretty severe. And you can bet that, you know, the numbness that went down Kennedy's arms, the fingers, the whole thing, what if, as he was being taken out by an assassin's bullet, would be all that'd be all the symptoms that would go along with it. And knowing that you are an energy system and knowing that you are taking your work to the next level, I just once again caution to be careful about tapping into somebody's symptomatology and what it means and what they'll do about it, as opposed to what energy do I need to embrace and process in order to move this out of my field. And you know, it's a process. It takes time. It takes work. It takes energy. And I appreciate the way that, especially since we've reconnected back, you know, several years ago, just how you've picked up the ball and gone with it and just keep moving it forward. It's awesome.
You know,
we're here to support you 2,000%.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I talk about that a lot, how I had sort of laid it down and walked away. There it was again, sort of. It's amazing when you catch it. I had laid it down and walked, sort of, you know, there we go, there's something right there. I sort of laid it down and walk away. I didn't sort of lay it down and walk away. I laid it down and walked away, and by using the word sort of,
yeah,
what I'm doing is revealing that, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal to put it down for a little while. And it's funny because when you and I finally connected, you sort of came in only like a few years into my marriage
sort of.
When did I just say it? Totally and completely
yeah.
in love. Totally and completely in love with this beautiful woman, and all of a sudden I didn't see her anymore. I was seeing all of my past things layered on top of her, and it was just an amazing thing that I tell people that metaphorically you basically handcuffed yourself to Loretta and I, and you said no one gets out dead. You know, everyone gets out alive. So, but the Kennedy thing is interesting for me because I speak about Kennedy a lot as such a huge shift in here, especially in the West of culture, predated by Elvis and a lot of the awakenings that were happening in the 50s. People were starting to wake up. TV's not necessarily black and white anymore. But with that Kennedy shift, it was that time in America where people all of a sudden said, hold on a second, I don't necessarily have to eat everything that's served up to me. Maybe we can question what's behind certain things. And I really have been telling people a lot lately, saying, look, on the level of religion, spirituality, especially particularly in terms of what we know about Yeshua and what we don't know, that's exactly what we're in the middle of right now. We've got this huge shift. And I'm telling people, in a couple of decades, we're going to look back on this time and say, wow, it looks like we were trying to hold on to something that just needed to be released. And, you know, that's the Kennedy connection is an interesting connection for me. You know, I got a DVD set that I can see it over on my bookshelf, and I'm walking toward it. It's called A New World Order, and it's these behind-the-scenes documentaries about JFK, and I bought it about 6 months ago. And I told myself, ooh, I'm going to watch this immediately. Every time I put it in, I never got past the first 3 minutes, and I'd take it out. So something's telling me that may be part of the process, too. That's an interesting thing that connects
like
right
it.
Back with my childhood. You know, can I actually be authentic with how I feel and allow that out? And that's an interesting thing that ties in with my father, my mother, that divorce. I often felt like I was on a lot of levels somehow supposed to be a peacekeeper. I also felt on some levels as if I wasn't being heard, but yet also on some levels I felt like I wasn't being heard, yet I was the one that was supposed to speak up. And you think of all that junk we pile on top of ourselves at the age of 5, it's amazing. It's amazing the stuff and that I went through for, and still on different levels and some aspects in my life, live from the perceptions of a 5-year-old boy who really on some levels doesn't have a clue what's going on around him. But yet I think a lot of that was because the authentic nature of who I actually was somehow being put into question. I was starting to pick up these little beliefs like, hey, maybe I'm not supposed to feel this. Maybe I'm not supposed to express it. Maybe I'm just supposed to like put on a mask and not talk about what I'm actually feeling. And it's amazing how much stuff we put in
self-invalidation
at a young age. What's that?
Self-invalidation. I'd suggest some worksheets on self-invalidation, and then looking back at, you know, there are four files that virtually, I'm sure you've heard me talk about this before, that virtually everybody creates in childhood when they have an event that happens with a pained adult and trying to fix it and take care of it. And that is that since I was not able to fix it, it's my fault. And since I was not able to fix it, I'm a failure. And being a failure, my life is hopeless and things are helpless. And that all leads to self-invalidation, which often ties into headache issues.
It did for me, and it still does. So,
yeah.
Definitely.
So I join you in those worksheets, just zipping through them and letting all that go and just going on to the next level. You know, it's time. The planet's ready for you. And, you know, I think it's time to recognize, you know, with what Julie shared. I mean, I've worked with so many people over the years and had the same issues come up of people who've come to do this work and come many times to do this work and been destroyed for it. I think that we're now at the stage where we're right on the cusp of critical mass. And what will happen with people who are playing from what one might call the other side is when they see the presence of the light and the power of the light, their desire for it is going to be so overpowering that the whole idea of having to punish and destroy and, you know, get rid of is just going to disappear. And people, it's like, it's so strong in the Earth's field now that it's a viable option for everybody, even people who are functioning from the deepest insanity.
Yeah. It is all up, and this is the time.
Yeah. So Jeannie tells me that we've got several hands up. Let's check in and see what people have got to share with us.
Okay. First, before I turn on the first caller, and we do have three callers on, it's really so on target. I've had one person that was listening on the phone, and they were texting me on my phone saying that this was just right on target for them and some issues, physical, so-called physical issues that they're facing right now. Then someone in the chat room was just saying that they've been having some issues that their doctor is also saying is neurological. And just, you know, so it's like the conversation all week having to do with physical issues and stuff like that, and then this coming up. So, Dale, your topic today is perfect for just about everybody that's listening right now.
And, Jeannie, before we do go to any of the hands, you know, my invitation, if there are any physicians listening, is it's time to get with the latest understanding of science. You know, medicine tends to think of itself as so scientific. Well, I offer, if you're involved in medicine, you're still looking for physical causes, go read Einstein. Go read Max Planck. Here's what Max says. As a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Our entire world, he says, is made up of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields, nested one within another within another. Doc, if you've got an organ that appears to be physically diseased, start looking at the nested frequencies and how to forgive them, how to remove them, rather than how can we drug this organ back into health. It can't be done. You can suppress symptoms and make the symptomatology look better, but you can't heal anybody that way. And it's time for scientists to start to actually comprehend the latest in science. You know, there's a gentleman who's a double PhD from Princeton who wrote a book called The Nature of Scientific Revolution, Thomas Kuhn, and he says, old scientific ideas die off when the old scientists die. Doc, don't wait to die for the new ideas to come forward. Embrace what's known to be true. It is known that there is no matter in our world. Matter is an appearance made up by the mind. There is no material substance. And therefore, there is no material cause. Therefore, there is no material solution. We are energetic beings. There is an energetic cause. There is an energetic solution. The power of the man named Yeshua 2,000 years ago to heal people was in the power of forgiveness. And that was the power to support people in removing the nested frequencies that if they were willing to remove them. You know, that woman who has the 12-year issue of blood knows if she can just touch the hem of Yeshua's garment, and she does, and he perceives a shift in energy, and he says, who touched me? And nobody wants to put their a woman in that culture didn't touch a man she didn't know, especially a holy man. And finally she owns up to it. It was me. And everybody wants to give him praise and credit. Forget it. He doesn't want it. That's not his job. What he said is your faith, your willingness to open your nested frequencies and remove what caused a 12-year issue of blood in your body, a seemingly terrible physical affliction, especially in that culture, in an instant, when the energy that was locked into that tissue was removed, the issue of blood stopped. And Yeshua said the reason it stopped was her willingness. Now, if you're invested, there's a great line in the Course in Miracles. It says, the world you see and experience will remain no longer than the thought that gave it birth is cherished. If you cherish your rage, your guilt, your fear, your hate, your anger, your sadness, your depression, if you cherish that, then you will never let go of the nested frequency behind it. But the minute you stop hanging out with, the minute you start to cherish your relationship with love, with God, and choose to let go of that, then that nested frequency is going to be removed. And, of course, learning to do that is a process. Everybody who starts to hear that says, oh, great, I'm going to be an expert at it yesterday. Yeshua says you can't storm the gate. You can't do it yesterday. I've been doing this work for 45 years. I'm still learning how to approach and, with the active presence of love, move out my own nested frequencies, because the things that I've been taught to believe and have been going on in my genetics for so long, I believe them. And so I've got to get outside of my own mind to do this, and you have to do that as well. And if you were to say to Yeshua, well, how do we do this? And you listen to him, and it's interesting. He lost about half of his crowd, about half of the people who were following him when he said this, said, this is a hard thing. Who can do bear it? And about half of them left. And here's what he said. He said, you're going to have to eat my body and drink my blood. And in the Aramaic, that's an idiom for, you're going to have to understand and integrate everything I know. You can't storm the gates of that understanding. You have to build the brain cells. And when Yeshua said to them, you know, we've been made it something about communion, about wafers and wine, and it's not about wafers and wine. It's an Aramaic idiom that says, you're going to have to understand everything I understand. And they're looking at Yeshua that they take and hold as a god. Of course, Yeshua talks to God, so maybe there's another story there. But they hold him as a god. And when he says, you're going to have to do the work that it takes to let go of everything unlike the truth in you, and you're going to have to integrate everything I know, half of his audience said, this is too hard to say. We're out of here. Let's listen to a caller.
Michael, did your passionate button just get pushed?
Beautiful.
What were you going to say there, Dale, a minute ago?
Nothing. I'm just wide open right now. It's beautiful.
Okay. Well, one person texted me and said that they are so grateful and humbled by the battalion of conscious, spiritual, loving beings that are in their awareness right now, and that's around them, surrounding them if they're going through a healing process, and that's the best medicine, is having that support. Someone else in the chat room, actually, this is Angela, and she had some surgery on her ankle, actually, and they damaged her vocal cords with the air tube that they put down when they did her surgery and damaged her voice. I mean, she can't even speak. She had to quit her job as a teacher because she couldn't speak loud enough for the students to hear, and the doctors are wanting to inject her vocal cords with Botox. That's their solution, like insanity. But she said she can see where, if she had not gone through the crisis of this surgery and what happened, that she wouldn't be on her healing path. So ultimately, it has led her to do more healing than she would have without the incident. So we see her
on
her vocal cords now that she's on the spiritual path as well. So we've got about 10 minutes, so let's grab a couple callers. Our first was Aaron Code 808. Yeah. Thank you for patiently waiting.
808, if you can hold for just 1 second, let me just say, Angela, to recognize that in that surgery, there were energies that were impacted on what appear to be the tissue called the vocal cords. So now there's a nested frequency there that is stored in that tissue. So my invitation would be to invite Rook or ask Rook to teach you and show you how to be able to embrace that energy that have impacted the way that tissue appears to be and to embrace and be able to forgive, to remove those energies. So that would be my support for you. And 808, welcome.
Yeah, good morning.
How do you be?
Aloha. I spoke with you yesterday on Christmas. It's Thomas Valentine.
Aloha.
Lewis. How are
welcome
you?
Welcome back. We're
yeah,
rocking out. We're actually...
Go ahead, Michael.
Go for it.
Michael, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, that's
I'm clear.
Oh, is it Michael or Tim I'm talking to? Which one?
It's Michael.
You got Michael.
Okay, Michael, yeah, it's very interesting that Lord, like, get me really prepared this morning. It said put you in just in case, because I think it really represents a lot about the men speaking, especially when Dale was speaking. I go, okay, I don't know if he's from the East Coast or where he's from, but I'm from there originally, and I could get comic relief because things through humor in order to get through the healing, and been doing this for 40 years myself, 45 years. Since a child, early on, I see the records on the soul. And I would say to Michael, if he'd like to contact me, look under my website or anyone, perfectionofgod.com. I generally don't say anything because the news will contact me with people regards to my number and all that, but I put it on there because I feel people need it. And my number is 808, that's 665-1921. If people don't get on the computer, which a lot of people don't, and have reached me and said, hey, I don't go on the computer. So it's the 808 area, 665-1921. But what I wanted to speak about, Michael, is Jeshua, which you would say, or Jesus, appeared to me in the wilderness and gave me a message about the men team spirit. And an angel in my right ear said it real softly, and Christ then, through in the super consciousness, so people would understand this, Christ literally appeared in a rainbow behind it, and waves of energy telepathically, and I was in that super consciousness. And it takes a long process in order to purify yourself to be able to experience something of this nature. And I didn't know it was going to happen, like Moses in the mountain, like the burning bush. But when the message came forward, I go, okay, mend the hearts of men. And my message is about the men, and it's good to hear that Dale was speaking, because the men need to be the warriors of light in the world, and the women will join in. And that's what they're waiting for. The darkness has to move out so they could be in the light and totally be in the light and get that shadow and that darkness out, so then they could be the ones to lead forward. But the women are leading on the planet because they emotionally get to clear things and all, and they understand that. And they're the healers. You know, they're actually the natural-born healers to bring us in and birth as a child. So my message is about the men, the hearts of men. That includes the women, includes the whole generation. But it's so important for the men. I feel that men have been really restricted from communicating about, they're the hunters. You know, they're the ones to take care of the family. But that is the shift in everything is about the heart and what your ministry and the work that you're doing is it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. I have someone I can now speak with because I do it, I do it quietly here in Maui, in Hawaii, from all around the world. People come, just like what happened with Magdalena and Chuck. You know how we're all connected for the light, and now as your program and it's opened up, it's really inspired me to listen to you every day while I'm preparing what I'm doing in the flow.
Awesome.
And
yes, you know,
I also want to know,
when men are brainwashed into this hunter role, and they're brainwashed that they have to give up their human lives in order to play that role, that's one of the big errors of our culture. And to be able to forgive those generational dynamics that have gone for so long, I think are really a powerful and important part of the process. So thank you. I appreciate you being on the team, and every mind, heart, and being on the planet was what it's all about.
Wonderful. And do you tape the shows? Tape the shows like when if I was speaking
yeah, you can
yesterday?
Just go. You can just go to our website, whyagainwhyagain.org, click on the radio
okay.
show. There are 4 years of archives, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. So you're
okay, wonderful.
There.
And then I can also hear
free MP3s.
Okay, wonderful. Even yesterday, today, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yep.
Okay,
yep,
wonderful, Michael.
All right. Well, have a blessed one.
Great, and you too. Much
we'll be in touch. I did get your call, and we've been packing and getting ready to get on the road, so we're actually driving today, so it'll be a day or so, but I'll get back to you, and we'll have some conversations.
That'll be wonderful.
All right, blessings.
And
take care.
You guys have lots of rainbows ahead for you.
All right, blessings. Take care. Okay, Jenny, you got another call for us?
Area code 216. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Luann, and I'm calling from Cleveland. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Luann. Welcome. How can we support
Hello.
You? We've got about 4 minutes.
I know,
okay.
Luann.
Well,
Dale
told me to call in because he felt that you could help me. I had an incident that happened at a Pentecostal church. I didn't know anything about Pentecostal churches, but I went because my girlfriend invited me over to her church. Her husband's a pastor there. And at the end
right.
of the service, we were talking about a certain subject, and her husband came up. We were talking about our kitchen sink being clogged, and her husband came over, and he started giving me a hard time about when people die and what God's going to say to them. And we got into a disagreement because I said, God's not going to stand there shaking his finger at you saying you screwed up. Then he went on to the beheadings that are going on and everything. And to make this long story short, I just picked up my stuff and said, I am so done with this conversation. And I walked out of the church. But when I walked out of the church, I actually felt like a tug on the front of my shirt. And I heard metal drop. But I stopped and I didn't see any jewelry fall or anything. And in the meantime, he's screaming at the top of his lungs at me, hey. And then he swings open the church door, the side door, and he's yelling at me out in the parking lot, like we're in the projects or something. And I left. But I told Dale I could have this, like, cold, empty spot that I could actually feel energy-wise. And I haven't felt right since. And that cold spot disappeared, but I can't take a real deep breath like I used to. I used to be a runner, so I can't take deep breaths. And I tried still point breathing. That didn't work. I tried Reiki treatments by two Reiki healers who are also shamans. And they said that they think something's missing, but they can't figure out what it is. And when I talked to Dale, he suggested I call in. And I don't know what I'm doing to attract that into my life, but there it is.
Well, it sounds like, number one, that perhaps if you can bring forward some compassion for his pain, because people don't scream and rage like that unless they're in a lot of trauma, and the trauma is usually based in fear, and it sounds like trauma based in fear of God. And, you know, there's an interesting statement in Romans that talks about how, beware you who judge another, for that in which you judge another, you've been guilty of practicing. And I think some compassion for someone who would scream and rage at you for what it looks like, it's about what you're doing, but you'll notice that so many of these pastors now through the years who scream and rage against some particular behavior, when they catch them in the back room, that's what they're screaming and raging is about, their own internal dynamics. But at the same time, it sounds like it resonated something for you and then something you bought into. And my highest thought, have you done any worksheets around this issue? Are you familiar with the reality management worksheet process that we teach?
No, I'm not. It's the first time I'm calling in, and I didn't know about your program until I saw Dale recently in Cleveland.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, here would be my suggestion is, you know, we're down to just a couple of minutes, so we're going to have to close the show up. But if you go to our website,
okay.
whyagain.org, there's a bullseye
okay.
in the middle of the page. And when you open that bullseye, it'll explain how to start to go into the forgiveness process. The third link down, if you click on it, a series of worksheets will open, and I suggest you take that first worksheet and make some copies of it. And then the fourth link down will tap into several radio shows where we've guided somebody through the process. So maybe just pick, through your intuition, one of those radio shows, an MP3, give it a listen, and to the best of your ability, do a worksheet or two around this situation. And then on
okay.
Monday, let's pick the conversation up again and see where you're at that point and how we can support you. And in the meantime, because we're down to just the last few seconds, I'm going to have to close the show out and just say that if you're in Fort Walton Beach this weekend, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we'll be at Unity of Fort Walton, and then down in Tampa North and Unity North in Tampa and St. Pete. So come and join us. We'd be delighted to have you with us, and we appreciate you joining us. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give, and bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye. Or Monday, pardon me.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jean, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Continuously.